What's up, Bulls fans, and welcome to another episode of It's Brewing at McEwen. I am your host this evening, Adam Cartwright. With me, as always, is Matthew Giardino. Matt, how are you doing, bud?
Doing good. Glad to see the Bulls had another conference win over the weekend, and we couldn't quite grab the sweep, but overall, it's a thing to be proud of to go on the road and get that conference series win.
Absolutely. Two out of three is the name of the game, right? You may notice my voice is a little different tonight, a little under the weather, battling through it. Don't worry, it sounds worse than it feels. I'm on the up end of it. So, but tonight we will look at that series against Memphis. We will also take a look at the conference and kind of deep dive a little bit. We're also going to take a look at what we got coming up as a conference again. When it comes to getting these teams into the tournament, we kind of have to look at it as a whole. So we'll do that. We'll also take a look at our friend 11.7's new midweek major, see where the Bulls ended up. You may guess we moved up. We'll see just about how far. We'll also take a look at the winner of that Western Kentucky and Dallas Baptist series that we talked about last week, and kind of look at who that is and how they've been looking. And then we'll follow it up with the preview of the Stetson midweek. That will be tomorrow. If you're listening to this on a Tuesday, or I'm sorry, on a Monday night, Tuesday, if you're catching it Tuesday morning, that'll be that day. Well, without further ado, Maddie, let's get right into it. We had two games on Friday, a bit of a weird schedule due to the weather in Memphis. Two games Friday, skip Saturday, play Sunday. Little awkward. Didn't faze the Bulls on Friday, though. We started off with a 5-1 victory. Corey Braun gets the win, 4-2 on the year. We'll start by taking a look at the performance on the mound. Matt, what'd you think?
Yeah, just Corey, he's just lights out on Friday, especially the past 2 weeks. He follows up his complete game shutout with another great performance, going 8 innings, only one earned run, no walks. You really want to see that continue to be low, and he's done that the past few starts, getting super deep into the game. And he also added 6 strikeouts in there as well. Really good to see Landon York. He came into the game and pitched a clean ninth inning, got the save. I believe that was his fifth save of the year. No walks, no hits, and he did get a strikeout.
Absolutely. I think the big key thing you mentioned there, no walks for either of our pitchers on Friday, the first game on Friday, no hit by pitches either. So no free passes in the game allowed by Bulls pitching. That is huge. Again, also limited the hits to 5. Did exactly what we had to do. And listen, it's another game on Friday night where, Corey Braun's got to go in and battle a really good opponent, and that's Seth Gardner. He pitched really well for Memphis. He went 7.1, only gave up 4 hits, one earned run, did have the one walk, struck out 5. So again, you go in, it's a battle of aces, and we came out on top. That's pretty good to do. We did it with some pretty awesome offense. Greco started off the scoring with a double to bring in Puckett. Brodeal drew a walk to bring in run, and Greco, I'm sorry, scored on a wild pitch as well. Carter Murphy will single to bring in an RBI as well. What'd you think
Yeah,
offensively?
and that was a huge pinch hit, 2 RBI base hit by Carter Murphy too, coming up pulled off the bench and in a pretty important situation, adding those 2 runs and getting the lead for the Bulls. And we go on to add another one to make it 5-1. But going back to what we were talking about with the pitching side of things, Corey Braun only had to pitch 88 pitches in those 8 innings. I think if the Bulls didn't bat around as much as they did in that top of the ninth, he probably does come out there and pitches his second straight complete game. But overall, we had some really clutch hitting to produce those 4 runs in that top of the ninth. That, like you said before, credit to their starting pitcher. He was looking really good. He was also efficient as well. But luckily the Bulls found the runs when we needed it, and we came out with the W.
Absolutely. Well, that wasn't the only action on Friday. We did have a game two doubleheader. A lot more offense in this one as it's a 12-7 victory. Jack Nedrow gets his fourth win of the year. He's starting to put together a pretty good record there at 4-1. Kind of quietly, but not really. If you've been following the podcast, he's been getting a lot of love from us. What did you think about the pitching?
Yeah, overall, it was good to see Jack Nedrow have another good outing. He's really strung together some really solid outings, back to back to back. It was a little bit of a disappointing outing for Jorge DeCárdenas. He did have a little bit of an issue with his control with 5 walks in his 3.2 innings, but I will say he did give the Bulls some length and an opportunity to really come out hot in the later innings in terms of offense. So, keeping them in the ball game and not letting the game get away from the Bulls.
Yeah, I just think the awkwardness of this one, kind of a doubleheader on Friday. I don't know that we've had that, in a while. I know we've had some Sunday doubleheaders or Saturday doubleheaders, but Friday doubleheader is a little awkward, especially when you think of how we've been doing our pitching. You don't know if didn't want to go with Archie as we usually do in a game two when it's on a Saturday. Maybe wanted to save him from not having to go on a Friday. So again, that kind of puts things into an awkward rotation. But again, hats off to Jack Nedrow. He really kind of came in and settled things down. Story for this was really the offense. Sebastian Greco hit two home runs. Jackson Mayo and Lance Triple also add home runs. Matt Double and Stuart Pruckett. We'll have doubles. Marcus Brodil has a three-hit game. Lance Triple has a three-hit game. Mayo has a three-hit game. Greco has a four-hit game, and Matt Rose has a two-hit game. Fireworks in game two, Matt. What'd you think?
Yeah, and fireworks too when our guy Lance Triple hit that home run and had a maybe a little bit excessive of a bat flip and ended up getting ejected, suspended for the next game too. So we'll talk about that a little bit in the next next.
Yeah, that's just one of those situations where emotions are high, and emotions get a little bit the best
Even
of us
Sebastian
there.
Greco, what was that?
Yeah, I was just saying, that was a time when emotions get a little high there, it maybe got a little bit of the best of Lance there. You don't really want to curb his enthusiasm, but you gotta. It's pretty late. It's pretty late out there with how high and you can throw the bat in college baseball. You got to play within that, but it doesn't take away from the fact that hey, he had a great game offensively, and we've really seen him kind of break out here in the last kind of two and a half weeks, and so that's been a really good to see. How about Jackson Mayo? 3 for 3, also adding 3 walks, just always on base, really putting together a really great senior campaign, don't you think?
Yeah, definitely him, and you can't forget about Marcus Brodell also adding 3 hits in that game as well. They continue to be leaders on the field.
Absolutely. Well, as we said, 12 runs. We get 6 of those runs in the 8th and the 9th, and that would actually put them away. We will now skip to Sunday. That jumps to Saturday again. The weather did not allow that to happen. Kind of an up and down game. We kind of 5 runs in the first inning combined for both teams. We had another 4 in the second. They kind of come back in the later innings. Like it back and forth. I mean, look at the list for the scoring summary. There's some crazy stuff going on. As we always do, we'll start with the pitching. Brandon Keister got the start. James Hill kind of had the bulk for this one in 4 innings. We saw Bryce Archie make his appearance on this Sunday. Again, didn't go as well as we've seen him perform in the past. You have to look at maybe just rotation got a little different than what we were expecting. Also, the weather was a little rough in general. A cold, misty rain. What'd you think?
Yeah, going off of what you just mentioned there, Friday, beautiful day. It was about 77 degrees, and I mentioned this on X as well. That game on Sunday ended up being 49 degrees and 48 degrees, and you could see the guys struggling out there. They were they're blowing into their hand, trying to warm up their hand to get a better grip. And that's reflected in the overall numbers for our pitchers. A team that, or a pitching staff rather, that usually has pretty good control. It was a real rough day out there for them. Overall, we only struck out four batters. We had seven walks, five wild pitches, and four hit by pitches. And then on top of that, you also add in two catcher interferences to add a couple more base runners. It was a rough day out there. Our guys need to have a really short memory when it comes to this game. There's a lot of factors that went into this, especially, getting out of a routine to having that day off on Saturday, and then coming back out there to pitch in some weather that you're qu not quite used to. Overall, I think it's just one of those games the guys need to throw away and move on to the next game.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely think it's a game to kind of flush. Maybe, we talked about it in a previous podcast, how you kind of can compartmentalize and maybe take some things you did well and try to build upon that. But as a whole, you're not really going to try to take too much from this. Multiple reasons, we talked about the awkward rotation, the break, and kind of the routine of what usually happens on a weekend. And again, as we've talked, it's not with just the fact that it was a doubleheader and then a play. It's really weird when you have that game in that day in between. That's kind of an awkward thing, to kind of go to sit and then play again. That plus the weather, again, just kind of flush that. But you do need to take some lessons in this weather because you might have to play some cold games, and we need to figure it out.
Yeah, Wichita State isn't far away, and I imagine Kansas this time of year is pretty cold too.
Yeah, absolutely. It might not be the last time we have to deal with weather. So hopefully we can take some lessons from that and build on it. Offensively, Greco kept things going. Jackson Mayo adds a home run. Carlos Hakame adds a home run in this one as well. Marcus Brodil with another multi-hit game. He has three hits in this one. Rafael Betancourt with five hits, 5 for 5 on the day. So offense was kind of cooking. The weather did not seem to bother them, totaling 16 hits on the day, and 8 runs. It just wasn't really enough.
Yeah, just to add on to that, it's really amazing to me how many times this year we've gotten more than 13 or 12 hits in a ball game, and typically we're winning those. But obviously, wasn't our day on Sunday. But really good to see some of our guys continuing their hot hitting with Greco and also Rafael Betancourt. He's just really strung together about eight or nine really good games in a row, where he's hitting well over 400. So good to see that. He's an important piece of this offense, and he's really seemed to have gotten it going. But overall, the big weekend offensively really came from Sebastian Greco. He really executed in every game that he played.
Absolutely, he did. And speaking of Sebastian, he was named to this week's conference honor roll along with Corey Braun. Corey again hit 7.1 innings, no walks, 6 strikeouts to earn that. Greco had a fantastic week. He hit 556. Again, that's 10 of 18. He scored 9 runs. He had 2 doubles, 3 home runs, and 5 RBIs. And I'll let you go, Matt. Give your congratulations to them. What'd you think?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think the AAC may have shortchanged Corey Braun a little bit there because I mentioned he had pitched 7.1 innings, but in fact, he did go 8 complete. But yeah, kudos to our guys. Awesome week by them. And, overall, both of those guys have been so important to this team, and they continue to carry that into conference play. And we got some big series coming up, so they need to continue to be on the same trajectory.
Absolutely, man. Speaking of shortchanging, I think these voters might have just been against us this week. Because I mean, when you look at the guy that got Player of the Week, Brando LaRue, shortstop out of Florida Atlantic, nothing against the young man. He had a fantastic week. He hit 333, with 3 runs scored, 1 double, 1 home run, one, I'm sorry, 3 RBIs. And if you're thinking to yourself, all of those numbers sound less than Sebastian Greco's, you would be correct. They are all less than what Sebastian Greco put together. So why one's on the honor roll and one's player of the week, I'm not quite sure. But I think Sebastian may have earned that one. And that's kind of what's going to play out in my mind. And there's nothing we can really do to change it.
We're when you're playing good, you end up getting some haters, so
That
we
is true.
must be doing something right.
That is true, and he is doing fantastic right now. Speaking of the AAC, we will take a quick look at the conference. Don't look now, but your Bulls are sitting on top, tied with UTSA at 7-2, followed by East Carolina and Charlotte at 6-3, FAU and Tulane at 5-4, Wichita at 4-5, UAB at 3-6, and Memphis and Rice sit at 1-8. Matt, just kind of looking at these standings, kind of in a vacuum, what is it telling you so far?
Yeah, there's a lot of teams that are, in competition for those top spots. We got the usual suspects up there. ECU, USF is having a great season, obviously. And then UTSA. UTSA had another solid weekend. They're actually the highest RPI team in the conference right now at 27th overall. The Bulls do have a very important home series against them, I believe, in early May. So that one will be extremely fun to watch. But overall, I think it's really interesting to see teams like Tulane and FAU and Charlotte. They're all around 5-4. Charlotte's actually 6-3. Good to see that they're having pretty solid seasons. And overall, the better that our conference can do as a collective, the better that is in terms of chances for multiple teams to get into that tournament at the end of the year.
Absolutely. I mean, I think we're kind of seeing what we thought we would see. There's those top six teams are they're where we thought they would be. They're all within a couple of games, all still relatively kind of have to play each other. We're actually going to see East Carolina and Charlotte play this weekend. So again, that's the two teams there at 6-3. Someone's going to lose right there, and that's going to drop them down in this one. We kind of get the benefit of going up against Rice here, who's still maybe trying to figure it out. But again, like I've said, they're going to upset someone and they're going to win a series when they're not supposed to. We don't need to let it be us. So I hope we're on top of that. Stay tuned later on in the week as Bruin and McEwen will bring you your preview of the Rice series. But you mentioned UTSA. They're having a absolutely fantastic season, RPI ranked at 27. Listening to the latest 11.7 podcast, they mentioned, if the season were to end today, UTSA and us have the resume to be in the tournament. You think you get one other winner, now we get three teams in the tournament. I can't remember the last time that happened for the American to get three teams into the tournament. So we're trending towards getting to that. And one way we are going to do that is in these midweeks. And we have some opportunities coming up. We'll kind of list them out and talk them out as we go. But Matt, which one kind of stands out to you, and what are you kind of interested in?
Well, I think the one that stands out to me the most is obviously ours. We got a really important game against Stetson, who is a top 100 RPI team. Bulls got to be ready to come out and really turn a corner from that Sunday game, and I think they'll do exactly that. But outside of us, really interested to see ECU playing against NC State. That's always a really good battle. ECU always plays them tough. Definitely interested to see how that game shakes out. And then aside from that, we got a couple other teams within our conference playing Power Four teams. We got UAB playing against Mississippi State. They're not having the best season. They're at 19-13, which for their standards is not exactly what they're used to, but overall a really good ball club. And then Memphis, the team that we just played right now, this past weekend, they're playing against Ole Miss, who I believe is currently a top 10 team. They just had a pretty solid weekend. So it'll be interesting to see if they can continue that momentum of that win on Sunday, and take it into Ole Miss. Obviously, one thing that we didn't mention too is, unfortunately for Memphis, they sustained some pretty significant injuries on one of those Friday games. And we really hope that those guys get better and healthy soon enough to get back on the field. Obviously, their center fielder is going to be out for the rest of the season. So, wishing him a speedy recovery and a quick road back to playing baseball.
Yeah, man, just one of those kind of freak accident things that happens on a baseball field. Two guys going hard for a ball that's kind of in the gap. You try to communicate as best you can, but sometimes you just can't when you're going that hard. So, as you said, we do wish him a speedy recovery. On to these midweek games. You mentioned East Carolina at North Carolina State. I think that's a good chance for the conference to get a win against an AAC opponent or ACC opponent. UAB and Mississippi State is probably the second spot I look at when I think about the conference trying to get one. Ole Miss is really, really tough. That's going to be a tough outing for anybody. And like you said, Memphis did just suffer some injuries, so maybe they trying to figure it out against that team might not be conducive. We just talked about the fact that Rice is trying to figure it out in general, and so might not be a spot there for them to get a win over Houston. Another interesting one here is Tulane at. I'm sorry, Southeastern Louisiana at Tulane. Southeastern Louisiana is going to show up on the 11.7 midweek majors rankings when we look at those in a second. Really good school, 24-7. Tulane again, one of the top teams in the conference. We swept them, but I again, that's nothing. That's a big win for us. That's not saying that Tulane's fallen off. I think they're still a really good team, and they're going to have to kind of bring it there tomorrow night. In order to bring home a win. Moving on from the midweeks, we'll take a look at what we have for the rest of the conference. Again, we're not going to kind of look at USF and Rice. We'll leave all of that to John and Mark as they do a fantastic job. So again, if you don't have your notifications on, make sure you turn those on, like and subscribe so you see that their show's coming up. But we do have some interesting games. I mentioned earlier, East Carolina at Charlotte, Memphis at FAU, UTSA at Wichita State, and UAB at Tulane. Me and Matt are actually going to look at these and do a little bit of a pick 'em. If you listen to us last season, me and Matt kind of did this. We've had a few weeks to now look at the teams against each other, and we're gonna start looking at these and maybe trying to make some picks, and we'll talk about it week to week, starting with this top one here, East Carolina at Charlotte. I'm gonna tell you, this game starts at 6. Our game starts at 7:30. If you need a game to watch, I would be watching the Friday night guy, Norby versus Gillespie. That's gonna be a matchup. Matt, what do you think?
I think my ECU friends will be upset at this, but I do think that Charlotte has some good momentum going right now. ECU, obviously they had a rough weekend this past weekend getting swept by FAU. I think Charlotte ends up taking that series 2-1.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be a tough game there. Again, in Charlotte, that really does matter. I think it could come down to really who can kind of get that Friday night game. I also think it's really kind of time if you're going to make a move, you got to make a move. If you're going to kind of establish yourself as moving forward, and you got to do that. And I think East Carolina's got to do that this weekend. I think they know that. So I'm actually going to take East Carolina on the road versus Charlotte on that. Moving on into the next one, Memphis, who we just played, will have to go down to Boca Raton to play FAU. Seems like a tough task, Matt. What do you think?
I gotta say FAU is gonna win in a sweep, especially with the injuries that Memphis sustained. It might be where you can get a win, one weekend, but to be able to sustain any success, it's gonna be difficult for them. So I do think FAU will end up getting the sweep there.
Yeah, it's hard to argue against that. I definitely think FAU takes the series, especially at home. You really just hope Memphis can kind of keep things on the rails. You hope they will, and you think they will, but I don't think they'll necessarily get right this weekend. I agree. I think a sweep alert here as well. Next one is going to be a kind of an interesting matchup. You got UTSA sitting atop of the conference. They're going to go to Wichita State, who kind of sits outside of that top six. But don't sleep on the Shockers. What are you thinking, Matt?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a tough series. I think we'll have some close ball games in that series, especially it being at Wichita State. I do think that UTSA will end up winning that series, but I think Wichita State will end up getting a game in that series and stealing one. But I say UTSA 2-1.
You know, man, I got a feeling on it. I think this is upset central. I think UTSA going up to Wichita State. I mentioned I think the Shockers are better than maybe what their record says they are. They've got some experienced teams and players that have kind of been playing together. I'm going to take the Shockers in an upset. I think they're going to get this one 2-1. I really do. Well, it brings us down to our final game, UAB at Tulane. Bulls have played both of these teams. What are you thinking?
I'm going to give the advantage here to Tulane. They had a pretty good weekend this past weekend. I think they actually got the sweep. They're also at home. I think they're going to have a good weekend. I'm going to go as far as saying that they're going to take the sweep at home against UAB and continue their success they've seen in the past week.
Yeah, this could be a situation where really we, USF, I say we, South Florida, we really did a disservice to the rest of the conference because when we swept Tulane, we kind of made them look in the mirror and say, hang on, who are we? Are we not the team that's won the conference tournament 2 years in a row? Is that not us? I think they had a they kind of had a self-reflection moment. I think they're a much better team, and I think they're going to come out and they're going to win this one. Maybe, yeah, I could feel a sweep here too. I could see that happening. Absolutely. Well, Matt, you have any final thoughts on the conference or we move on?
No, it's going to be another great week of baseball in our conference. Excited to watch it.
Absolutely, it is. And as we look, you'll see why it's going to be a great week of baseball in our conference. Because as we look at the mid-major week eight rankings. There are six AAC teams sitting in these rankings. I'll run through the AAC teams really quickly. UTSA sits at number 9, Florida Atlantic at 10, South Florida, we moved up to 14. East Carolina sits at 19th, Tulane sits at 21st, and Charlotte will sit at 23rd. UC Irvine Anteater still sitting at top. Western Kentucky will move up to 4th over Dallas Baptist. They had their matchup. We'll talk a little bit about that in a second. But before we do that, any thoughts, Matt, when you look at the rankings? Relatively the same, I think.
I was gonna say it really is relatively the same, and I obviously want to see our Bulls be the highest in the AAC. But when you look at UTSA at 25-9, FAU at 23-9, they both came off of pretty good weekends. I think it's a pretty fair analysis across the board. One thing I do want to point out too is it's funny seeing Creighton at number 11 with Coach Kingston and Coach Mull. They seem to be having a pretty good season, so kudos to them over there. But yeah, overall, happy to see the Bulls have moved up about three spots week over week. I think we're just going to continue to build that momentum and get higher up in these standings. But one thing that we talked about going into this weekend was that big Western Kentucky versus Dallas Baptist series, and it seems like they actually flipped spots. So Dallas Baptist was 4, now Western Kentucky is 4, and Dallas Baptist is number 6 now. So that's a funny part too.
Yeah, it is, and I'm actually going to talk a little bit about the winner of that series. Western Kentucky took that series, and it wasn't really all that close. They actually won the second game in a run rule fashion. They took the first two games. Dallas Baptist was able to take the Sunday to save from the sweep. So really, it was kind of a thrashing there for Western Kentucky. It maybe would have been unexpected. I think everybody is kind of, if you follow college baseball, you kind of know who Dallas Baptist is. You kind of expect them to do well. But this Western Kentucky team, man, is kind of putting together a pretty good campaign. If you're one of those guys that maybe likes to put together an early bracket, want to know who maybe some of those mid-major teams are that would fill out some spaces, this would be a team to do it. Strength of schedule is not great, but they are fantastic at home, 21-0, and they do what they're supposed to do against quad three and quad four opponents, going 23, I'm sorry, 24-1. Also, three quad one wins to just four losses as well. How about this Western Kentucky team, man? Were they on your map?
No, not at all. It's a really interesting surprise, honestly. And to be honest with you, going into this season, I never had really thought about Western Kentucky baseball. But they've had some close games against teams like Vanderbilt, where they took them to extra innings, lost a ball game 5-4, and that was actually earlier this week. And they had a really daunting schedule this past week, and they fared really, really well. Obviously, winning those two ball games against Dallas Baptist. One of them they blew them out in 11-0 mercy rule in 7 innings. But yeah, really impressed with them so far. I'll definitely have to tune into their games and pay a little bit more attention to them.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was maybe kind of the question. Like you said, we mentioned that home record. That's crazy. I mean, to win 21 straight games at home, that's pretty fantastic. But I think you had to, when you looked at their schedule, you maybe circled this week and said, this was going to be the test. How do you come out of this? And I think they passed it pretty well. Like you said, a fantastic outing against Vanderbilt, number 14, getting lost in extras, right there, had a chance for it. And then you turn around, you don't let that kind of emotional letdown seep over into the weekend. They are able to come out, take the series quick, dominant fashion there on Saturday. They got some big series that's coming up. Liberty, they got a big midweek with Louisville. They'll play FIU. That's probably kind of the last real big. Well, Louisiana Tech is having putting together a pretty decent season as well at
And
20 and 12.
Jacksonville State too.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, 21 and 11. So they got some matchups coming up, which just means if they get through those, then like you said, they're going to be a team to watch out for. As a regional buster, kind of going in somewhere that they're not supposed to and picking up a victory. Well, Matt, I think we will move on now. The Bulls will play a midweek matchup against the Stetson Hatters. Kind of a real, not kind of, they're a real common opponent for us. It's going to be tomorrow night at 6 p.m. Real quick, just kind of talking about the history. It's pretty even. I believe 21 wins to just 23 losses. So again, the Hatters are just on the right side of it. Currently, the Bulls sit in a three-game losing streak. And so we're going to be hoping to kind of snap that. But it is really up and down, back and forth. It's always been that way. You can't really look at the records and kind of decide this one. Matt, when you hear Stetson, the Stetson midweek. We hear it almost every season. We get the Stetson midweek. What are you thinking?
Always going to be a close game, and typically it's not like a normal midweek where there's a lot of scoring going on too. Really interested to see how things are going to shake out tomorrow. I feel pretty confident in the result, but they've played us tough, historically speaking. And one thing about playing Stetson is the overall matchup is very close in terms of wins and losses, historically speaking. And one thing that I had pointed out earlier in this season is just historically speaking against mid-major Division One teams in the state of Florida that are non-conference. I know that's a mouthful, but we've historically had a struggle against these teams. So the fact that we have an opportunity to make that all-time series a little bit closer, coming tomorrow, I think is going to be a really interesting perspective of it. And Coach Hannes has had some great success so far. I think he's 2-0 in those types of games. Let's see if he can make it 3-0.
Yeah, I think it's going to be advantage us when you look at Stetson. They currently sit 106 in the live RPI, 20 and 13 overall, 10 and 7 at home, 7 and 5 on the road, 10 and 11 in the non-conference, 10 and 2 in conference. So you can see a lot of their work is happening within the A-Sun. They're 9 and 1 in their last 10, which I would assume would be a lot of conference games here. It is important to note that, they've got a win against the quad one team. They're 4-5 against quad two teams, which is where we would kind of fall in with our current RPI. Again, it's advantage us, but we're gonna have to kind of pack our lunch if we want to pull this one off. They do typically pitch well. They do, typically bring pretty good staffs. They have guys that can really get outs, and so we're gonna have to bring our bats. Doesn't mean that we haven't scored on them in the past. I think when you look at some of these games, 13-6 was our last win. So, but again, our last one, the win before that was a 4-3. You look at a 5-2 was the last game in Tampa. So again, gonna have to do what we can do, but I think the talent and the coach kind of the coaching goes to us advantage wise, and I think we can pull it off. Some
I will be
names to kind of
interested.
go ahead.
I was going to say I will be interested to see who we pitch tomorrow, just because I feel like a lot of the guys that maybe you would pitch in a midweek game we did throw out there on Sunday, so we might have to throw some guys out there on some short rest.
Yeah, it will be interesting from a pitching standpoint, and I didn't really know what to go on. Pitching for a midweek, especially for an opponent, you never really know what they're going to do, because again, especially once you get into conference play, because they're kind of going to put all hands on deck. It's going to cause some adjustments, and we're going to see what our adjustments are. I think Stetson might have to make some as well. Some names to remember for them offensively: Lorenzo Mayola is batting 341, Foster Apple batting 291, and Juan de la Cruz batting 287. Six home runs for Mayola, four home runs for De La Cruz, so a lot of their power is coming from them. Three other guys with at least three home runs, so kind of some pop up and down this lineup. We're going to have to kind of be effective in the zone. I don't think we're going to be able to leave it over the heart. If we do, it could be a bit of a long night. But we got some pop in our lineup as well, don't we, Matt?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's going to be maybe it won't be a typical Stetson USF game. It could end up being a high scoring affair, and I think what's impressive too is they got multiple guys with over three home runs, and it's going to be tough. We'll definitely have to bring our A game, and like you said, pack a lunch.
Absolutely. Well, Bulls fans, I think that is all that we have for you tonight. Matt, do you have any final thoughts before we sign off?
Just anticipating what this game's going to be like tomorrow. Definitely think goals are going to turn around. We're going to see some good hitting, and I think it's going to be a high scoring affair. And then aside from that, also I wanted to give a shout out to a couple of Bulls fans, Alyssa and Ellie. They had mentioned that they listened to our podcast and are avid listeners, and just want to give them a shout out and thank them for listening and supporting the Bulls. We really appreciate that.
Absolutely. We do appreciate everyone that takes the time to listen to what we have to say. Well, Matt, I guess for me and you and for all of us at Brewing MBQ, and again, we want to thank everyone for listening. If you have not, please make sure you like and subscribe, turn on the notifications wherever you're listening to this podcast so that you know exactly when all them will drop. Be on the lookout later this week as Mark and John will be bringing you the preview for the weekend series for Rice. Also be breaking down kind of what happens in this Stetson midweek. But until next time, Bulls fans, as always, go Bulls.
Go Bulls.